Get started. So we were in the middle yesterday of discussing the halachos of Talmud Torah for an avel. So one or two last points related to that, or more than one or two, but a few last points related to that. The Ramban in Torah Adam quotes a Ritzgeus that if Rabban Tzrichim lo lehislamed mimenu was mutter al yedei lechisha by whispering to the guy who's going to tell the Maturgaman, etc. Because Talmud Torah is more important when it's Rabban Tzrichim lo. But, says the Ramban, halav hachi, it's be Yisura Omeid. And therefore, says the Ramban, the conclusion that one must draw is that if the only heter is Rabban Tzrichim lo, and then you do it with the Shinoi, in order to be able to be Marbitz Torah, Shema Mina, that a Kohen Avel, an Ein Sham Kohen Elohu, is not allowed to get an Aliyah. It's also lo likros b'Torah. Even though he's the only Kohen around, throughout Shiva he's not allowed to be Kari b'Torah, because that is not a mitzvah that's Docha the Avelus. It's only a role Misakein to be docha the avelus, to be docha the Talmud Torah, the avelus, when it's dark, when it's Rabban Tzrichim lo. But over here, the whole reason you give a Kohen and Aliyah before you give anybody else is only Mishum Darkei Shalom, and that's not enough of a mitzvah to be docha the avelus. So says the Ramban. The Ramban says, and in particular because it's not even a halacha, meaning Darkei Shalom is only when there's no Talmud Chacham. Let's say there's a Talmud Chacham, Meikar Adin, the Gemara says that Talmud Chachamim are, Rav Kari Bekahani, the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Beis says that Rav would get the Kohen Aliyah. I think in Rav Vadya Yosef's minion in Harnof, in his apartment, Rav Vadya used to get the Kohen Aliyah. He wasn't a Kohen, because it's not really a din that the Kohen needs to get the first Aliyah, and therefore the Darkei Shalom of giving a Kohen a first Aliyah is not going to override the Isser of a Kohen to be Kori Batorah. As the Shulchan Aruch Paskins here in Sif Beis, Rav Moshe writes in Yardecha, Gdalitzim Samech Aleph, Oz Beis, that even if they already called him to be Ola L'Torah, he shouldn't be Ola L'Torah. So the Shach, Sivkat and Gimel, says that B'Shabbos it's mutter for him likros b'Torah, because otherwise it's going to be Avelus b'Farhesia. If he's the only Kohen and he's not Ola L'Torah, that's going to be Avelus b'Farhesia. So on Shabbos, he should be Ola L'Torah. In Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Tes, in Kovlam, he says that a Levi that gets the Aliyah every single Shabbos should get the Aliyah during his Avelus as well, because otherwise it's going to be Avelus b'Farhesia. And even if he doesn't get the Aliyah every single Shabbos, but he's the only Levi around right now, better for him not to leave and let him be Ola L'Torah, be Me'evlo, rather than for him to leave the shul, because even that might be considered Avelus b'Farhesia. But that's all as far as Talmud Torah, because that's what Kriyas HaTorah is. It's a Talmud Torah Berabim. It's not a din in a kibud. It's a din in Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah Berabim in particular is an expression of Simcha, right? That's what we've pointed out, Rav Shachter loves to point out, that the idea that a Bal Simcha is a chiv to get an Aliyah is because it's the greatest expression of Simcha when a person gets an Aliyah, when a person is being Malame Torah Berabim. Did we just say that here, that story with Rabbi Kamenetsky when his son was born with Rav Shachter? Is that here that I said? I just told the story recently. No? A lot of blank faces, so no? What? Wasn't here? When Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, my Rebbe, my 10th grade Rebbe, when I was in 10th grade, his first son was born, Binyamin Baruch was born. So Rabbi Kamenetsky was married for, I don't know, a few years without children. I don't know, 4 years maybe without children. So he was very excited when his child was born. He shared with us, like, the Agmas Nefesh that they went through and everything else, and how he went to Rabbi Willig, like, crying, like, I don't understand, I just want to serve the Ribbono Shalom, I just want to do what the Ribbono Shalom wants me to do, and, how come he's not cooperating over here? So when he was born, it was a big, big simcha, and it was like a Tuesday morning bris or something. So Rabbi Kamenetsky, weekday morning in Teaneck, everyone's got places to go, and Rabbi Kamenetsky got up to Darshan at the Bris, and he spoke for 45 minutes at the Bris. He was just so excited. And the way he concluded his speech was, and now I introduce Rav Shechter's speech. So like everyone's like, oh my God. So Rav Shechter said, he got up and he spoke for under 2 minutes. And Rav Shechter said, Teaneck is a very strange place, he said, but not in the way that you mean it. He said it seems that the halacha normally is that a Baal Bris is a chiyuv for an aliyah. And I noticed this morning, but Kriyas maybe wasn't a Tuesday, maybe it was a Monday or a Thursday. He said, I noticed this morning that the Baal Bris didn't get an Aliyah. And I was wondering, why do you have such a minhag that a Baal Bris doesn't get an Aliyah? He said, now I realize why. Because the reason that a Baal Bris gets an Aliyah is because it's an expression of Simcha when you're Malami Torah Barabin. But you have someone who's capable of being Malami Torah like that, with such a beautiful drasha for 45 minutes. He doesn't need an Aliyah. He's Malami Torah Barabim like that. It's such a lucky community that you have such wonderful young mechanchim to be Malami Torah in such a way. Mazel tov. And that was the whole speech, right? So that was that's the yisod that he always likes to say. And he had like a sense for the moment that, you know, it wasn't time for a long drasha at that moment, but to also tell the community to appreciate Rabbi Kamenetsky. And so anyway, that was a nice thing. Rav Daniel Feldman once wrote an article about Rav Schechter and his sensitivity, and that's the maisa that he told without Rabbi Kamenetsky's name. But Rabbi Kamenetsky doesn't mind if you use his name. He likes telling that story himself. But anyway, but the idea is that when a person gets an aliyah, it's an expression of simcha. When you're Malami Tabrab, it's an expression of simcha. And therefore, the Taz writes in Sifkat Nalif, there's nothing wrong with an avil doing hotzav, achnasa, hagba, galila, or anything like that. And not only that, during Shiva, the Drisha writes, if he gets Hagba, he could sit on a regular chair after the Hagba, that there wouldn't even be a problem with that. Now, the Gemara says that we're not Omrim Shmuva Agada Bibes Ha'avel. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel haya omer shmua va'agada bebeis ha'avel. That even though the stump of the Gemara says you're not supposed to say talk and learning in a beis ha'avel, it tells a maisa rav that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel did talk and learning in a beis ha'avel. So the Ritva writes that it must be that was on Shabbos. And it's totally in a machlokas whether there's avelus b'shabbos and there's no avelus b'shabbos. Whether you could say shmua va'agada bebeis ha'avel on Shabbos. So the Rush writes that Talmud Torah is considered a davar shel tzina, that's asra filu b'shabbos. So therefore, meaning unlike the Ritva, who says, "Oh, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel did on Shabbos because on Shabbos you don't have to be noheg an isra of Talmud Torah beis ha'avel." But the Rush says, "No, Talmud Torah is davar shel tzina, so you need to be noheg davar shel tzina on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to learn on Shabbos either." But the Rush says you could go over the parsha because that's kikorei Hashema. That's just like reading the basics of of what appears in the Siddur. It's like the Seder Hayom. So Drisha writes that even Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum is Mutar on Shabbos, but not Pachol. Meaning that since it's related to Kriyas HaTorah on some level, so it's related to Shabbos. So on Shabbos he's willing to be Mekel of Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, but not Bechol. In Yalkut Yosef, in Simon Yud Gimel, footnote Hey, he quotes a machlokas whether you could do Rashi, Shnayim Mikra with Rashi, because if you always learn Rashi, midei Shabbos b'Shabbato, to be choshish what Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Pei Hei in Aruch Chaim, that a Yirei Shamayim should do Shnayim Mikra with Rashi, so maybe that's also part of the Seder Ayom. And he quotes that the Birkei Yosef is Machmir, but the Lechem Apanim is Mekel. So he has a Machlokas HaPoskin, whether you're allowed to do Shnayim Mikra with Rashi on Shabbos during Shiva. Now, the assumption that you're supposed to do Rashi is an interesting assumption, right? Meaning it's not an assumption. There's marmakomos on this. Tosfos Maseches Brachos writes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that the purpose of Shnayim Mikra is that Amei Haaretz, who don't understand Lashon HaKodesh, should understand the Mikra, and therefore you don't have to say Dafka Targum. Any whatever language you understand it in is the point, and anyone who understands it from whatever laws you're speaking, so Shapir Dami. But Tosfos disagrees with this Yesh Mefarshim and says that there's a special inyan to read Dafka from the Targum, because Targum is not just a translation, it's also a Perush, and it serves as a proper accompaniment to the Chumash, because there are makomos that it's not possible to understand from reading the Pesukim themselves, and it's only with the Targum that you have the Perush HaDvarim as well. The Rush writes that if you read in a Perush on the Torah, like Rashi, you yotze the Chiv of Targum, because it explains, as long as the Perush that you're reading is Mefarish Kol Mila Umila. In the Divrei Chamudos, he quotes from the Smag that Rashi is even better than the Targum. So in Halacha, the Torah writes in Orchaim Sim Reish Pei, that if a person learns the Parsha with Rashi, that's like Targum, because Targum just means that you understand the Parsha and what it's driving at. But if you read Bishar Laz, you read in English or whatever other translation, then it's no good. Meaning Pirush Rashi is considered Targum, but other translations are not considered Targum. Because the point is not just to understand Pshutei Advarim, but to understand the inyan of what the Torah is teaching you properly. So Beis Yosef quotes those Deos in Rishonim, and he quotes the Smag that Rashi is better than Targum, and he says Yesh Cholkim, and say that Targum is better than Rashi, and he says Targum, after all, has to be better than Rashi because Megillah Dav Gimel, Targum was given by Sinai. So he says Yirei Shemayim should be Yotzei as Kulam and read Targum and Rashi. So the Mishnah Berurah, you know, discusses this whole thing. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Vav and Resh Pehei and Aruch Chaim goes through the milus of each of them. The Targum has a milah that was given at Sinai. Also that there's every word is covered by the Targum. Rashi has a milah that it's mefarish much more, and you get the Midrashi Chazal much more than the Targum. So he says that it's Roy Linog that everyone should do each week the Sedra with Rashi aside from the Targum, because there are a lot of parshios in the Torah, particularly in Vayikra, where there's no way you're understanding it if you're just doing Targum. And there are many parshios in the Torah where you're not really doing it three times if you're only doing Rashi, because Rashi takes a vacation for many, many psukim. So in Shari Tshuva, he quotes in the name of the Marshal that if you don't have time to do both of them and you can only do one or the other, so Shari Tshuva says Rashi is better than Targum. So Bir Alachi says that a perush on the Torah that's mefarish the inyan and the milos al pi yisodos chazal, like Rashi, is no worse than Targum, and he goes through what the Smag would say about this. So l'chora, all of this is totally on why we do Shnayim Mikra. Meaning, there's a possibility that Shnayim Mikra is like a Kriyas HaTorah with the Meturgaman, that it's a reenactment of Kriyas HaTorah with the Meturgaman. So then Kriyas Targum is the best thing to do, because that's what the Meturgaman used to do. So he certainly didn't read Rashi. Or it could be that it's a curriculum of Talmud Torah. If it's a curriculum of Talmud Torah, then you really need to understand. So the Rashi is even better than the Targum. But anyway, in our context, that's what the Poskim discussed. That since Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum seems to be an exception of what an Avil is allowed to learn on Shabbos, so the question is, how far does that go? Is it only Targum for the same logic? Meaning, is it only Targum because Targum is like Seder Ayom, it's like Kriyas HaTorah, and that's why, or is it even Rashi? And the arguments say not even Rashi is because Rashi is not just Seder Ayom. Rashi is to really understand and to be Ma'ayin and to get all the Midrashi Chazal. Rashi is much more of a Talmud Torah type of activity to be doing. So Pashtus is really not Rashi, right? Pashtus is Shvishnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, and that's it during the rest of the, when one is not a novel, the rest of one's life. So for sure, meaning you should do, the Beis Yosef says, better to do both. And if you have to choose one, many of the poskim say Rashi is the better one to choose, and the Pashto says that's correct. But during Shiva, maybe Targum is the best one to choose. Pischi Tshuva here in Simchat Torah, of course, Chacham Tzvi mentioned yesterday in Simchat Kuf, that since on Yom Tov you shouldn't be learning Dvarim Arayim, so you can learn other things, because what? You're going to be Yoshe Batel on Yom Tov? So Pischi Tshuva says, I understand. Talmud Torah is a Dover Shotzina. It's Beferish that way in Shulchan Aruch. So you're not allowed to do Talmud Torah. What do you mean? Because you can't be learning Dvarim Arayim on Yom Tov, so therefore you should learn normal learning? No, it's an Isra Talmud Torah. It's a Dover Shotzina. So Chacham Tzvi, if you look in that Chacham Tzvi, I didn't mention this yesterday, if you look in the Tshuva, he's somech on the Rambam that there's no Avelus Beregel at all. And therefore it's Pashut that on Shabbos he would also be Moda not to be Mekel. Meaning even though the Chacham Tzvi is saying that you should learn on Regel, that's because he's also being relying on Shittas Rambam that there's no Avelus at all on Yantav. But on Shabbos there is Avelus for sure of Dvarim Shaltzina. And therefore on Shabbos You could learn Dvar Marayim or nothing at all. I saw in Maruk Tzia, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, who importantly for this context is the son of the Chacham Tzvi, writes that to learn Dvar Marayim on Shabbos is Avelus Befarhesia, and it's Asra Libet Kulei Alma. It's a strange psak because that's against what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch the Siman Tav writes that Talmud Torah is a davar shebetzina, and therefore you're not supposed to be learning other things. And even the Chacham Tzvi was only talking about Yom Tov. He didn't say about Shabbos. So it's a very strange comment that Rabbi Yaakov Emden has. Okay, now, we had said, going back to Shmua Vagada, we said, so you're not supposed to say Shmua Vagada Beis Avel, but Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel said a Shmua Vagada Beis Avel. So we said, oh, the Ritva says, that must have been on Shabbos that he said a Shmua Vagada Beis Avel. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Dalet Paskin that were Ein Omrim Shmua Vagada Beis Avel. So the Rashash asks, why not? Meaning, if the Gemara is machlokes, Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel said Shmua Vagada Beis Avel, whatever happened to the klal of Halacha Divrei Mekel Bavel? So if we hold Halacha Divrei Mekel, so we should pass them like Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel. And on top of that, says the Rashash, Maisa Rav, meaning one of the klalim in Halacha is that when it wasn't just something that was stated, but it was something that was actually done, so that's a Maisa Rav, that's more authoritative. The Yalkut Yosef in Simin Yud Gimel Ozayin says, and that's the explanation for the minag that people say Yishmu Vagad Beis Avel and Ein Limchos Biadam. Wow, meaning we discussed why is it okay to learn Mishnayos in the Beis Avel. So he said, Rabbi Willick said, don't, meaning learn Pirkei Avos or learn Third Parakamite Katan, right? But Yalkut Yosef says, no, it's because the Rashash is Kasha, such a good Kasha that we'll pass him like that against Shulchan Aruch. Wow. Okay, but that's what he suggests, that halakha divrei mekel bavel and maaser rav, it's such a strong kasha, so you could ein limchos biyadam and mikol shekein when you do it lekavod hanifter. The kavod hanifter point is really the point that most of the posts can pick up on. In Shuvas Rav Pa'olim, Chela Gimel, Yardea, Simon Lamed Aleph, he brings rayas that anything that's the Kavod HaMeis is not going to be a problem with Shmua Vagada Beis Avel. So the Mishnayis, which is meant, Osios Neshama, and it's meant the Kavod HaMeis, that's the reason for that exception. So basically you have three Mahalchim in terms of why we're allowed to learn in between Milchamarev in the Beis Avel. One is, we're not, and that's why we keep the Pirkei Avos of Moed Katan. The second Mahalich is, that we are, because anything that's l'kavod, the nifter is considered to be mutter. And then you have Yalkut Yosef who says, we are because we don't even pass like the whole din of Ein Omrim Shmua Vagada Beis Avel, because Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'Avel. Or even if we do pass like it, at least Ein Limchos B'Yadam for those people who choose not to pass in that way, which is a gevaldik achidish. Bottom line is, every Shiva house has something like that. You know, the rabbi will always do some learning in between Menachem Arif. The Aruch HaShulchan just points out that if you're not allowed to say Shmua Vagada Beis Avel, he says Hadavra Pashut Shasa Lo Lava Lilmod Bishar Chachmos. You're certainly not allowed to be studying other Chachmos. The Avel is not allowed to be studying other Chachmos. Kolshkin Liko Bekisvei Itim O Beis Machberes Shahu Shaliyas Yichdaitim Avel. Certainly shouldn't be reading the newspapers or blogs or things like that, or the catching up on his ESPN.com or whatever, you know, to find out. It's certainly not that. Meaning what he seems to be saying is that Shmua Vagada Beis Avel is an Isser not only in Talmud Torah, but it's also a Hesech Hadash from the Avelos, and it gives a person a sense of Simcha. So a person is going to be doing other things that are Masiach Das from the Avelos, and that he enjoys and are a sense of Oned for him that will take away from the experience of the Avelos. He says, Kal v'chomer, that's going to be Aser. In Siman Tav Kuf Nadal in Arachayim, Shulchan Aruch Paskins about Tisha B'Av, that even hirhurei Torah are aser, that a person shouldn't even be thinking and learning when he's in Avel, even though here lav kedibur dami, but over here it's not about divrei Torah that are aser, it's about the simchas halev, it's about the pikudei Hashem yishar mesamchei lev. So pikudei Hashem yishar mesamchei lev, meaning even if the person is not saying anything, but he's just being mahar b'divrei Torah and he's chashmining things out, so there is simchas. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says over there. Now you could argue, well, that's if you hold that's pikudei Hashem yishar mesamchei lev, but over here it's hanegdo, it's about silence. Silence. You hear what happens in silence. So we had that whole discussion. That would be another nafkamina between the two psukim and makes it all the stranger that the Ramban quotes, because they Hashem Yishar, Misam Chalev, which is not what the Gemara quotes. But there does seem to be this assumption that it carries over. In Pnei Baruch, he quotes from Lekad Yosher and Hilchos Machos that you could be Mahar B'divrei Torah, just not to be Motzi B'Sfasav. So again, totally on those, on whether it's an Inyan of Masam Chilev or it's an Inyan in Hanek Dom. Questions? A few questions, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it depends on the case, but whether it's for Talmud Torah or other Chachmas, if a person is just like feeling like a little overwhelmed and worked out at the end of the day and wants to like look at something for 5 minutes, do we push them not to because it's like it's usher, and we say like people, you know, need space?
You know, it's an interesting kal v'chomer that the Aruch HaShulchan makes, because it's not really a kal v'chomer. Meaning, Talmud Torah is a particular issur that Chazal asked. Hesach Hadassah Mavelus in general is another issur. Talmud Torah happens to have an element of Hesach Hadassah Mavelus, but it's a particular issur of Talmud Torah. There is no formal issur on any other particular topic, because nothing else is assumed to give a person that same sense of simcha. Is it appropriate to be reading other materials for a person to read a novel and this and that? No, of course it's not appropriate. Is it really a kal v'chomer that if Talmud Torah is awesome, then kal v'chomer that's awesome? I don't think it's really a kal v'chomer. So you're asking to be might the iser. Someone says, I'm going out of my mind, so I'm going to do something. So what should I do? Should I learn or should I see what the Yankees are up to? Probably you should see what the Yankees are up to. Right? Probably you should. I mean, probably not. You say, I can't tell you what to do, but Talmud Torah is one of the dinim, and there's a siman shulchan aruch about an iser of Talmud Torah. There's no siman shulchan aruch about seeing what the Yankees are up to. But, you know. Whenever you say it like that, like a person's going out of his mind, it's great, you know, it's a tsar for him, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes we tend to exaggerate these things, you know, like everything's a tsar, everyone has anxiety, everyone has, you know, like there are different levels, and, you know, he'll probably get through it. Meaning it's rare, I don't want to come off as saying like anxiety is not real. Anxiety is real. It's rare that the Yankees solve that. You know, I'm saying like that's rarely the treatment. You know,
I was saying more just like to get the person's mind off of.
But adrabba, you're not supposed to get the person's mind off of it. That's the issur, Fesach Hadas from the Avelos. Now, okay, so that's Divrei Torah. Sheila Shalom. So the Gemara in Daf Tezvav says that an Avul is also b'sheila shalom, and Daf Chafal from Beza tells us that the halacha changes over time in terms of as he progresses in his avelus, what elements of sheila shalom are aser, become lighter and lighter. So the first 3 days, the Gemara says it's also lishol b'shlom acherim. And if other people don't know that he's an Avel, or Shoal B'Shlomo, he can't even respond. He has to say, I'm an Avel, right? If they're Shoal B'Shlomo. That happens sometimes. Person's on a plane back to America after they bury their relatives. So they're on a plane back to America, and they see someone they know. Because if you get on a plane from Israel to America, and you're Jewish, you're going to see someone you know. So the person didn't realize that they didn't get the email that that this person's an Avel, or they did get the email and they didn't read it, or they forgot, or whatever. Shalom Aleichem, right? So the first 3 days, which you're in the first 3 days when you're on that plane usually, so you have to say, I'm an Avel, right? You have to make them uncomfortable. Oh, it's going to make them feel bad, this or that. Okay, no, they'll feel bad. From day 3 to day 7, it's Asu Lishol B'Shlom Acherim. But if other people who don't know that you're an Avel are Shol B'Shlomo, you could be Meshiv. You could respond to them. From Shiva until Shloshim, you could be Shol B'Shlom Acherim. But other people who know that you're an Avel shouldn't be Shol B'Shlomo. They shouldn't ask your Shalom, because the Avel is not Shari B'Shalom. If other people didn't know, obviously, and they asked at that point, and they were Shoal B'Shlomo, then of course you'd be able to respond. You're even able to respond between days 3 and 7. So obviously during Shloshim, you're able to respond. Someone who's an Avel al Avav V'Imo, you all Yud Beis Chodesh, you're not Shoal B'Shlomo. So a person should be mindful when a person's an Avel al Avav V'Imo, you shouldn't be Shoal B'Shlomo. Gabe taught me a good trick this morning that when his friend Jeremy was an Avel, he would say, if someone was in the exact circumstance that you're on and has the exact same personality that you have, except they weren't an Avel, how would they be feeling today? You know, that could be a nice end around to be a Shaul v'Shlomo. Okay, so good answer. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Ravya that if someone dies a day before Rosh Hashanah, then you shouldn't be Shaul v'Shlomo until 2 days after Yom Kippur. And he quotes the Darkei Moshe, the name of the Kolbo, that if it's also b'shel shalom, kol shkem it's also laharbos b'dvarim. So the Yosef explains it's in Yodalid. The reason for the issue is because during Shiva, it's also to novel for b'shel b'shel mecherim because he has a chiyuv of shtika. That's hanegdom. After Shiva, he could be shol b'shel mecherim because there's no chiyuv shtika. So he could initiate a shela shalom. He has no chiyuv to be silent anymore. And other people are Shari B'Shalom, so there's no problem. The fact that people can't be Shaul B'Shlomo is because they know that he's not Shari B'Shalom, so it's like Loig L'Rush, meaning it's like, it's Ki'ilu, they're mocking him. I mean, here this guy is struggling and he's suffering, and you know, and it may sound weird. What, no one's mocking him. Who would do that? Who would be mocking another? But a lot of times it is taken that way, meaning when people try to act too normal around someone who just had a loss, you know, and even if you think it wasn't a tragic loss, you know, the parent was 95 years old and, you know, was lived a good life or whatever, to that person it's a tragic loss. To that person it's a tragic loss. So you just act like everything's totally normal and everything's fine. They feel like you're mocking them, like, well, like nothing happened and you're just, you know, like everything's just fine. So to be Shaul B'Shlomo, it's Loig L'Rosh. The Gemara brings a Maisa that Rabbi Akiva's children died, and everyone came and was Maspid, a Hespid Gadol. They had a big Asifa. And Rabbi Akiva got up on a Safsal Gadol, on a, you know, a podium, and he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael, he gave a whole speech, and he said, Scharchem Kafel, you know, you gave me Nechama, and therefore you should have great Schar for what you did. L'chu l'batechem l'shalom. At the Hesped, Rabbi Kiva said, go l'batechem l'shalom. So Gemara says, why was he allowed to do that? Mishum Kavod Rabin. That for the Kavod of the Rabin, he was allowed to greet them in such a way. So the Raman, Shin Peyei, Sif Aleph says, that for Kavod Rabin, like Rabin Bav L'Nachamo, you could say l'chu l'batechem l'shalom, because Kavod Rabim is mutter. So Hu Adin, you're allowed to be Marbe B'Dvarim a little bit, L'Kavod HaMenachemim. And that's certainly the minhag. I mean, even though we have this concept of Hanekdom, and of Navel is B'Shtika, and that he's not supposed to be overly talkative, but if all these people came to talk to you, and they're not allowed to talk until you talk, until the Avel talks, so L'Kavod the Rabim, L'Kavod all the Menachemim, you don't have to sit there B'Shtika the entire time. You can engage them. In Yalkut Yosef, it's in Yodalit Oz Gimel, it says that other people could be Shaul B'Shlom Ze'ezeh B'Beis HaAvel after the Kvura. Meaning, the Amira Shalom is only to the Avel himself. Aye, but in Evel Rabasi it says, Ein Shaul B'Shlom Ze'ezeh B'Toch Ha'ir, and Shulchan Aruch Pasen Zeshin Mem Gimel Sif Beis. That's only Kishemes Pi'ir, says Yalkut Yosef. Once the mace is buried, so then other people could be Shalom B'Shalom. So a lot of times in the Beis Avel, some will say Shalom Aleichem. Pashto says you're not really supposed to do that. Yalkut Yosef is matzdik such a minhag that once the kavur is over, so two of the Menachemim could say Shalom Aleichem to each other. In Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Sadi Dalid Sif Dalid, says that the entire year that a person's in Avelus, the cherev is metucha kenegarosa mishpacha. They should, the family should see it, should view themselves as if there's a sword drawn against them that entire year. Like they should be walking on eggshells that entire year, as if there's like an ever-present danger for that entire year. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, "If nolad ben zachar, ba'osa mishpacha, nisrapes kol mishpacha." It's a passage in the Yerushalmi that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if a ben zachar is born into the family that year, then it's a refuah for the entire mishpacha. That's a good passage to have in your back pocket. A lot of times, there is a baby born into a family within the year of Avelus, and it's very comforting to tell them that that's like a refuah, and they sense it. People feel that's a refuah for the entire mishpacha. I think I mentioned to you the other day, maybe if it's a girl that's born, just leave out the word zachar when you say it over, you know. I will give them more of a nechama. What it says is ben zachar. It's Rabbi Yisrael Mishpacha. So Rav Avadya says, why is this in Shulchan Aruch? Meaning stam, just that we don't have like other divrei nechama that just appear in Shulchan Aruch. Lemay nafkemin ala halacha. Meaning we don't have just random divrei hashkafa in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Avadya said it must be that there's enough Kamina Lamaisa. What's enough Kamina Lamaisa? It must be that if Noah ben Zachar ben Mishpacha, the Isra Shele Shalom goes away. Because now we Shari B'Shalom. Meaning you're not supposed to be Shalom B'Shalom the Avel because he's not Shari B'Shalom. But that's only because, why is he not Shari B'Shalom? Because he has a Cherev Metucha Kenegdo. There's the sword that's drawn against him. But once Nolad ben Zachar, Nisrapi is called a Mishpacha. What does it mean Nisrapi is called a Mishpacha? Now he's B'Shalom. So says Rav Avadya, so now you're allowed to be Shalom B'Shalomo. So in Yalkut Yosef, it says that when Rav Avadya was sitting Shiva for his father, Rav Shlomo Zalman came to be Menachem Avel, and Rav Avadya shared this vort with Rav Shlomo Zalman, this idea with Rav Shlomo Zalman, that maybe this means that once a Ben Zachar is born, Nishabi's called Mishrach, he could be Shalom B'Shlomo, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I don't think so. he didn't like it. He thought that we can't rely on that. Maybe nice vort, but we're going to be Machmer anyway, that you still shouldn't be Shalom B'Shlomo. So you got to come up with another Nafkamina Lahalacha. What is considered Sheila Shalom? Do we still even do Sheila Shalom? Meaning what? Yeah. To be Shol B'Shlomo. Yeah. To be Shol B'Shlomo. Meaning whenever the reason is because he's not Shari B'Shalom, then the Chari yes. If it's the Chari yeah.
When we say that there's like a cherub on the neck, and then the Ben Zachar would be the fool for that. That would be referring to those.
That's a good question. It's a good question. It just says Nolad ben Zachar ba'osa mishpacha. Right. Sometimes it's a grandchild. So one of the siblings had a grandchild. So what? So the one who was an avel who now has a grand nephew, that's going to be the shabbos called mishpacha. I don't know. Maybe it's an assumption that the greatest nechama is the hemshech of the dorus. Maybe it means a descendant of the nifter. That whenever it's a descendant of the nifter, maybe that's the nisrapis called a mishpacha. I don't know. Now, what's considered sheilas shalom? Darkei Moshe writes in Os Aleph that which were noheg to be shol b'shalom avelim after shiva is because the sheilas shalom that we do is not really the sheilas shalom that the Gemara is talking about. He says av be'emeslom mashmakim. So what does that mean? So the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, he says that we're knowing to be Shol B'Shlomo after Shloshim is over, because maybe whatever we do as far as Sheila Shalom is not the real Sheila Shalom. So the Shach and Sifkan and Gimel says, none of Shach. If what we do is not the real Sheila Shalom, then why only after Shloshim? Right? As soon as Shiva is over, it should be Mutter to be Shol B'Shlomo. So he says it's a Tal Sofer that was Nafal in the Ramah, and it should say Lachar Zayin. And Darkei Moshe, it says that way. And Mela, the Tmiyas HaShach, is not a Tmiya. However, in the Eliyahu Rabin, some Tavkuf Nun Dalid in Orachayim, about Tisha B'Av, he says that it's Hakol Aser, because Lo Adiv Me Ovel Toch Lamid Hakol Aser. Meaning he says that an Ovel Toch Lamid Hakol Aser, based on the Ramah, that after Lamed, after Shloshim is okay. So he seems to be assuming that the Kavanah of the Ramah really is for Shloshim and not for Shiva. Yeah.
Why couldn't you just be talking about an Avel who isn't Avel for Yimim?
Because it doesn't sound like that's what he's talking about. Right? Meaning otherwise, of course, after Lamed is nothing.
In Eliyahu.
Now, in Tshuvas Ber Moshe, Chelik Dalitzim Kuvav, the Debrecina writes, that what does it mean to be Shalom B'Shlomo? Shalom Aleichem is Shalom B'Shlomo. That's it. To say good Shabbos, good morning, hello, he spells out hey, ayin, lamed, vav, hello. There's no iser in any of these things. And Pnei Baruch and Simtar Zayin, Ha'aruch Av Zayin, quotes in the end of the Shumas Sedeshen, something very similar. The Ritva Ma'ikatel Chavzayim and Beis says Nanua Harosh is not considered Sheila Shalom. A nod is not a Sheila Shalom. In Berheitev Tavkuf Nundal Tzivkat and Beis says most of the Sheila Shalom we do nowadays is just good morning. It's Safra Tava, and that's Mutter because that's not really Sheila Shalom. And in Gesher Achayim he also says that way. But most of the Achronim say that a Navel also shouldn't say good morning because since we do that in place of She'ela Shalom, so as like a zecher d'davar to the concept of She'ela Shalom, we don't do that either. But really, 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 the only use of She'ela Shalom is to actually be Shalom v'Shlomo. The Gemara says that la'achar yud beischol d'shlom v'imo, and after shloshim for shar krovim, then you should no longer be medaber imo tanchumen elamen atzad, meaning that if you're saying divrei nechama, it should only be beremiza. You shouldn't say you shouldn't mention the name of the nifter or anything like that. Meaning, if you know that someone was struggling after the loss of a relative and the period of avelus is over, it's more like, how you doing? Stay positive, this and that. I hope you're finding the strength, and that, but without any mention of an actual loss and that someone died. The Torah writes that if Mesa Ishto and Nasa Acheres, you should not be Medaber Tanchumen after he gets remarried, but if in his house. But if you find him Bashuk, then you could be Menachem him quietly Bashuk. Meaning in the house, there's a sensitivity that once a person gets remarried, so there are all sorts of Menhagim about how much of a Zecher to the first spouse should be around the house when a person gets remarried, because it's a lot of it could really psych out the new spouse. You know that there are pictures. The whole house is like a mural to the previous spouse, and it's like so I think many of them, they put away the pictures. They don't leave pictures out of the first spouse, and it's based on this halacha.
It's after your Beis Chodesh, you ask the person how they're doing, and they tell you, I'm doing poorly because I'm still upset because so-and-so is after. At that point, are you able to menachem them normally?
Yeah, probably. Probably they're going through something, you have to help them out.
I saw there's someone in Cohen that he has all the typical greens as a buster if they're...
He says they're also. So again, I'm telling you the Mar Makomos I know, that Geshar Chaim says, Meikra din it's mutter, but we don't do it. We don't say good morning. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. Does he quote anyone?
I think he wrote it pretty matter-of-factly.
Right. Okay. The Yerushalmi in the second paragraph of Bracha says, Makom shnagol lishol b'shlom avelin b'shabbos Yerushalim, if that's the minhag. The Rambam in Parak Yud Halacha Aleph writes that an avil is nosin shalom l'kol adam because it's dvarim shebefar hesya. The fact that acherim are noeg not to be shol b'shlomo b'shabbos is not avelus b'faresya, but him not to be shol b'shlom acherim would be avelus b'faresya. Why is it not avelus b'faresya for people to be shol b'shlomo? Because it's not his niyug avelus, it's how others are noeg with him. And Shlomo Kluger also writes in Number of Tshuvas in Halachah Chashomo that it's only usher to do nihugim shel avelus shiva b'faresya on Shabbos. Nihugim shel avelus shloshim in Yud Beis Chodesh is no iser on Shabbos, it's a chiddush, right? Meaning the iser of being noeg avelus b'faresya on Shabbos, which Shlomo Kluger holds, is only in dinim of shiva. But anything that's a din of Yud Beis Chodesh, a din of shloshim, wouldn't be a problem. And that's why you could distinguish between him being shol b'shlom acherim and other people being shol b'shlomo. In Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel, he says that it's mutter for an avil to be shol b'shlom acherim on Shabbos, and he has two minhagim about others being shol b'shlomo. So in Geshur Chaim says most are knowing to be machmir within shloshim, so that it doesn't appear like avilus b'far hasya. So most people just avoid the guy. He says after shloshim, they're knowing to be shol b'shlomo and to say Shabbat Shalom, and kol shekain any other lashon that nohu gets etzleinu b'nei Ashkenaz. I mean, like, oh, good Shabbos, right? Shabbat Shalom, you actually use the word Shalom, so that's actually shol b'shlomo. But to say oh, good Shabbos is probably not anyway shol b'shlomo, so certainly that would be.
What
so there's a discussion about Kiddush Levana. I just saw a discussion about this. Where did I see? I think I saw my brother's notes. He had some Mar Makomos on this. Taz says something, doesn't Taz? I didn't bring my Shulchan Aruch even with me today. I don't know, they don't see anything, but I think they say that they do. Pesachei Tshuva says? Yeah?
For you, you should do it after he's done Shiva, because he came to his house.
Right, okay. But then after Shiva, people could be Shol B'Shlomo in Kiddush Levana, they could say Shalom Aleichem.
I think it's going to say, yeah, Shalom Aleichem, I'm not going to have the Shalom, so it's not a... I need ideally, you should try to ask someone who's not novel.
Right. Right. Okay. So, but the other, I guess. Right. Me, but for him to be shoulder, shoulder, chayim is anyway going to be mutter at that point after Shiva.
I'm saying people should be mutter, not to.
Not to ask, not to be shalva shlomo. Yeah, the other issue is Birch Kohanim comes up. Is the Avil B'toch Shiva doesn't say Alkev Alkev Seinu Barachin B'Bracha when he's a Shliach Tzibur, because that's also considered like She'ila Shalom. By Tisha B'av B'Shachris we don't say it in Chazaras Hashat, but by Mincha we do say it, even though it's also to do She'ila Shalom by Mincha also. You know, but a lot of the minihugi avelos are lightened in Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. In Broyers, during Shiva, the avel is not mispalel at all as a shlich sibur, because their choshish is going to cry too much. So if that's the case, it's proper that the shlich sibur, who's davening in a beis avel, should say the Birchus Kohanim. Meaning, the whole reason we don't say Birchus Kohanim in beis avel is because Navel is davening. And if the avel is davening and say Barchenu, so that's ki'ilu, it's a she'ela shalom. That's akin to a she'ela shalom. But if the Avil's not davening anyway, if you're following the Ekesha Minag, the Broyer's Minag, of the Avil not davening anyway, then maybe there's not a problem. That's what Shai told me in the name of Rav Shechter. That's Rav Shechter said that way. Yeah. Ah, okay. What do they do?
In most places they don't. Okay,
so we'll get to the Avil doing Birchus Kohanim in the whole year of Avelus. You have an issue with the Avil doing Birchus Kohanim? No, not just during Shiva.
No, we're saying
in
should be
different
at all.
Right, so is it a din Birchus Kohanim or is it a din in Sheila Shalom?
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, the when it comes to Birchus Kohanim, to Nesias Kapayim, to Duchenim, so in Kuf Chav Ches in Or Chaim, the Rama quotes Yesh Omrim that even if there's no other Kohen, the Avil Shnapi Nosei Kap of Kol Yud Beis Chodesh Alav V'Imo, and Rosh Shloshim Al Shar Avelim. But the Magen Avram says that if they tell him to be Ola, then he's got to be Ola. Meaning if they call him up to the Duchen, then he's got to go. And Ramosha writes in Yardei Chilik Dalet Tzim Samach Aleph Os Aleph, that if he's the only, if he's he and another Kohen are the only two Kohanim there, and the Shliach Tzibur said Kohanim, then that's called that they called him up directly, because who else is it? It's him and the other Kohen, and he said him plural, and therefore he has to be Ola. But that's only if he's Akar Raglav Bavoda, where he's Mesupak, that they might call him. But when he's not Akar Raglav Bavoda, then there's no Kohen would be Ola. What about like birthday presents and birthday cards and things like that? So I saw in Rabbi Schnall's notes from his Chavrusa with Rav Shai Shechter that Rav Sabalovsky said that it's not proper to send birthday cards to an Avel. And Ulai b'makom atzorech, on an anniversary or something, you can call the person, the spouse who's not an Avel, and say happy anniversary. Meaning, if a wife is sitting shiva, so you call the husband and you say happy anniversary to the husband, or you give a card, an anniversary card to the husband. Now it's not his anniversary alone; it's not a very meaningful anniversary if there's no wife there. Right, but that's, you know, to rely on what the minhag ha'olam is with mishloach manos, that people deliver mishloach manos and they say, oh, it's for the wife, it's not for the, you know, if the husband's an avil that year, they say, oh, this is mishloach manos for the wife. Rav Willig does not like that practice by mishloach manos, because everyone knows you give a package to the family, it's for the family, it's not really for the wife, it's not really for the she doesn't love jelly beans more than the husband or whatever it is, you know. The little Bartanura wine, you know, it's not for her. And even Hilchos Mishloach Manos, right? Meaning, let's say, I don't know, if a man is not supposed to give Mishloach Manos to a woman or something like that, so you give to the family, do you have to specify? Like, a woman answers the door, you have to specify, this isn't for you, it's only for your husband. You have to specify. It's understood. It's for the family. It's not just for them. Rav Shechter thought that cards are not a problem. He said cards aren't a she'ela shalom. Cards are a bracha. You should have a happy birthday, many years of health, and you're allowed to give a bracha. Like mazel tov, you're allowed to say mazel tov in the base of them. Rabbi Schnell writes that in his notes that Maisa Shahaya, he said, that his mother-in-law was B'toch Yud Beis Chodesh, and all the daughters wanted to buy her an anniversary gift. So Rav Willig said that any iser of buying such a gift doesn't apply within the mishpacha. It's that other people who aren't krovim, because when it's within the mishpacha, he said, Rav Willig said, what? Are you not allowed to take money out of one pocket and put it in your other pocket? Meaning, money's all in the family, right? Like you have sometimes, like they have very generous kids that they buy their parents these very elaborate birthday gifts with their parents' money. You know, they're like they're swiping their parents' card and buying their, you know, like it's just it's taken from one pocket and putting it right in the other pocket. So Rav Willig thought that within the family it's okay. Rav Shachla thought that it's not right. And better to explain why this year you're not buying a gift. Because you're not veilus, you're not buying a gift. He said that he pushed Rav Shachter on this, that mom won't understand. And Rav Shachter said, all right, we violate this all the time anyway. I don't know what that means. He says, no, anachnu avrim al zeh kol hazman. So I don't know what that means. That I guess people aren't so careful about shir l'sholem toch yud beis chodesh. I don't know, my family, we just had this issue. My mother's in avelus now for my grandfather. So, and her birthday was soon after, right? So the shayla is, like, you know, buy your birthday present, like that's not so acceptable in my family. So what do you do? So we came up with an idea. That we would buy her a picture of her and my grandfather, like a nice whatever, you know the guy on Twitter, Elon Block, that does all the nice pictures, you know, the art. Huh? Yeah, that's what I just said. Elon Block. So do you know him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, so we ordered a Elon Block picture of my mother and my grandfather. And my sisters asked my brother if it's mutter to give it to my mother, and he said ask Aryeh, and then they asked me because he would have said Usher, and he didn't want to say Usher because heads would have rolled. So he said ask me. I thought it's mutter. I mean, that's good for the avelos. I mean, that's mamish. You know, it's just it was meaningful to her because it's a zikaron of the grandfather. I didn't think that really counted as matana. Well, so she stands in front of it and cries all day. I mean, like that's not that kind of kind of matana. That's what I thought. I don't know. Nunu anachnu avrim al zeh kol hazman. Okay. Ativus Harosh. What about Ativus Harosh? So the Gemara in Tezvav Amral says in an Avil is chayv in Ativus Harosh. Chavdal Amral elaborates a little further in Shulchan Aruch Shin Pei Vav Sif Aleph Yechas Harosh Abitalis Abesudar V'yachzor Ktsasu Al Piv V'al Rosh Hachotem. That he covers his whole head and most of his face with some sort of turban or cloth, and he leaves out like the tip of his nose and his mouth. You know. So the Ramban writes that when Boim Menachem Etzlo, he should be Megala Rosho L'Kvodam, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that people coming to him, so he should undo his Atifa. So the whole day he sits there like a Baba Sali, right, with a hood over his head and face, and then Menachem come, and Derech Eretz, he should take off the Atifa a little bit. So Tosfos, in Anchafav Amralif, writes that we don't do an Atifa, because we don't want them to say that we're a bunch of Mechashvim. Beis Yosef quotes how it goes, Maimonius Parakei Osayin, that we don't do Atifa because it's going to be Bali de Schok Godol Menagoyim and Avodim and Shvacho Shabenenu. We're around too many other people that are going to see these strange practices and it's going to lead to a joke. So, two reasons. Tosa says they're going to think we're doing some sort of Kishuv if we're walking around like the Baba Sali because they're going to think that we're going to cast a spell on them. And the second thing is that that they're going to mock us, that they're going to think dressing up like some horror movie or something. So the Beis Yosef writes that lo re'inu v'lo shamanu, someone who's pater from Atifa because of such a taina. No, because other people are going to say things. Beis Yosef says lo re'inu v'lo shamanu. So Darkei Moshe and Hosalov says minak pashut avelim don't do Atifa, me olam lo re'isi avel mu'utath. He says says, I've never seen an avil with an atifas harosh, and it's machlokas, mechaber Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch. But the mechaber says, of course you need atifas harosh. And the Ramah says, never seen it in my life. It's not a pella, right? Meaning the mechaber lived where the mechaber lived, and the Ramah lived where the Ramah lived. So among other people, I don't know, maybe it was different practices, depending on what was acceptable in society. It wasn't so unusual for people to have an atifa around the Mechaber. So it wasn't going to be such a strange thing in society. Around the Ramah, for people to have an atifa, would have been something very unusual. In the Emek Bracha, on page Kuf Mamalev, he says that the Indian of pottering, meaning Mechaber's taina is a good taina. Mechitesa, we're going to not do a chiyuv that we have to do because we're worried about what people are. Why aren't we worried about what people are going to say about us when we carry a palm branch and a citron and we walk through the streets that way for a week? Right? Why are we not worried about that? I mean, all of a sudden we're worried about. So he says, no, the Indian is an Indian of Chil Hashem. The Badei Shulchan elaborates and he writes, the Chara Kasha, Ma Bekach Shesoch Kimi Menu? Why do we care what they're laughing at us? V'yesh lefarei shechovas ha'avelos hi mishum kvod ha'meis o mishum kvod ha'mishpacha. V'kimen sha'atifa hi l'schok v'lag ein b'zeh kavod al-zilzul. He says the whole nekuda of avelos is that it's for the sake of kavod for someone, for the meis, for the mishpacha, for both, but if it's going to be a zilzul, then it's the opposite of kavod, and therefore the whole thing falls away. He says, shuvri isi kisvarezu atzma beritva chav bezem beiz by chalitzas kasev. And he says, that's why we don't walk back barefoot from the Beis HaKvaros, where the Goyim are going to be Malig Aleinu, because the whole thing is supposed to be Mishum Kavod. Or it could be that it's a Chil Hashem, like the Emek Bracha says. If the Goyim are going to see that we're being the Zalza and the Kvod HaMeis, that like we have a costume party after someone dies, and everyone's all of a sudden dressing up like they're the Grim Reaper. Is that the thing? Is that what he's called? Whatever, don't pretend you don't know. Right, everyone's dressed up in their Halloween costumes. You know, it's going to look ridiculous. So it looks like we're being mezalzel and lemeis. So they're going to say that the Jewish people and the Torah is mezalzel and the kavod lemeis. So the Bach, the Shach, and the Taz quote from the Rokeach: Medinos Elu, we should do an atifa ktsas. What does it mean, atifa ktsas? You lower your hat over the eyes a little bit throughout Shiva. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's nachon for the avel not to remove his hat from his head throughout the entire Shiva, and to sit that way throughout Shiva if he can. So it sounds from the Aruch HaShulchan and from the Bach and the Chachma Sadim as well, that's not really a kiyum of Ativa Sarosh, it's the Rav Chedmilsa. Meaning, just like not saying good morning is a zecher to the Yisrael Sheila Shalom, right? So when Novel picks up the phone, right, Rabbi Willard points out, when Novel picks up the phone, what does he say? He says, yeah, right? He doesn't say hello. Hello is not really Sheila Shalom, but you have a zecher to Sheila Shalom, so we say, yeah. So we are also wearing a hat, it's not really Atifa Sarosh, it's a zecher to the Atifa Sarosh. And that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says he should wear a hat, im efshar lo. What do you mean im efshar lo? Wear a hat! It's efshar for everybody to wear a hat. It means it's not really a chiyuv, so you don't, but it's just something that we do. The Emek Bracha disagrees, and he says that it's absolutely asur to wear just a yarmulke during avelus. You need either to have an ativa sarosh with a talis b'shas tefila or a hat the rest of the day. And he says, I can't understand why poskim don't mention this. That which we make of an ativa sarosh is only by an ativa mamish, and that's only because people are going to mock us. But otherwise, this is a kiyum of ativa sarosh. Rabbi Willard pointed out that atifa, meaning to be mekayim the inyan of atifa, you just need to be doing something that is atifa. The best way to do it is atifas yishmeila, but we're not able to do that anymore because of the reasons of the Tosos, and that goes Maimonios. Rav Shechter, when he sat Shiva, was very makbid that he wore a hat the whole time. You'll find that a lot of times people who don't normally wear a hat the whole time will wear a hat throughout throughout Shiva. Rav Tversky, if I recall, also was wearing a hat the entire time throughout Shiva. In the Emek Bracha, he writes, Tamani po be'eretz hakodesh bi'ir shekula Yisrael lama einogin batifas Yishmael. He says, l'chora, the whole reason we don't do atifas Yishmaelin is what that goes by Mamiyo said, and the Tulsa said that the Goyim are going to mock us and they're going to think it's going to be a zilzal and this and that. When you're all around Jews, you don't have the ein shayach kana tamanal. Patam Lechel Hashem Ben Anachem. Beprat po Beretz Sharavim Sharavim Adayin Nogim Batim Hazu. Especially if you're around a bunch of Arabs, and that's how they dress all the time. So even in Yerushal Ruben Nachrim, you live in some small yeshuv that's surrounded by a bunch of Arabs, or still it should be mutter. Ein lifter me'ativ as Yishma'elim. So the truth is, though, Arabs don't really do it. Meaning, Arabs don't do ativ as Yishma'elim, like we're describing. They wear, what do they call it? Kafia, something like that. But they don't put it over their nose and their mouth. You don't see that so much. So it could be that it's still, the Arab women do with the covering everything, except for the eyes. But you don't see, and the Haredi women. But you don't see it so much that Arabs do that. So probably the reason still applies. So I think the minhag is to wear a hat during Shiva, and not to do an actual Ativas Rosh. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, on Wednesday we will pick up with Fias Hamita, Hanachas Tfilin, Lebedek, Kibus, Kihutz, Tisporas, Giluch, Giluach, a lot of good things.